Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look there together. Just let me read that verse once more for us from Exodus chapter 20, the one in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the great privilege that we have to assemble together today. Thank you that we can be here, as of now at least, without the secret police or the state police or somebody sent to watch over us or report us or otherwise give us a difficult time. Lord, we see Christianity more and more under attack in America, which is such a devastating reality when we realize how far we've come down the wrong road. But for now at least, we give you thanks and praise and just bless around the world today. Help us to look out with broader eyes to see that more is happening today than what's happening here at Calvary. All across the land, all around the world, as the Lord's Day unfolds and even in some places has come to a close, we realize, Father, that the kingdom of God has advanced, whether we have seen it or not. That we are one day closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, that we are one day closer to the bride of Christ, and that complement being filled up, at least insofar as with the church age part of things. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless your work wherever it may be found, wherever the word of God is rightly divided, wherever it is believed, wherever it is preached. Give people strength to continue to believe your word and to continue to preach your word and to continue to live by your word. And I pray you'd bless us here today. Lord, we have such an important subject. I realize, Lord, how limited I am in so many ways. And I just pray, Lord, that you would come and compensate, help us to hear those things that you want us to hear today, guide and direct those things that I might say, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Mother's Day, we come to perhaps the most basic text in all the Bible to consider such a subject as important as our mothers. And I might point out to you, there's something very subtle in the text that we might not notice. And so look down at your Bible again, and you notice that it does not say honor thy father and mother. Did you notice that? There is another word. It says honor thy father and thy mother. Because God wants us to see how uniquely important not only the father is, but also the mother. And that's what we concentrate on today. Honor thy father and thy mother. There is a sense in which it is a package, and there is a sense in which two unique individuals comprise what God has placed into the home. Now, today, my development of this is extremely simple. We have a command before us, honor thy father and thy mother. And we're focusing on our mothers today. And so, very simply, I want to explain why. Why does God say this? And we won't have time to say everything about that, but it is important for us, even though God doesn't have to explain himself. Is that right? But he does in his word in this instance, and so we might as well look at a couple of things at least that tend to expand upon that. Before, I want to just give us some suggestions, scriptural suggestions, about how we might honor our mothers, because I think it's important not just to deal in the abstract. What might this look like? So look, folks, let me tell you right now, we're not going to go home today with just kind of one of those oblique messages that we can all just say, well, I know the Bible says honor thy mother. I would like to give us some things that we can think about, some things that we can consider whether or not we're doing those things. And maybe God will speak to our hearts. I want it to be a wonderful day for us here at Calvary, for fellowship in our homes, for fellowship in our church, as was already said, for all the wonderful godly mothers over the years who have made up this church and still continue to do so. What a treasure we have had in this place and still continue to have, not something to take lightly. Why does God say, honor thy father and thy mother? Well, clearly, God establishes a great deal of importance to this particular command. And how do we know that? Well, one of the ways that we know that is where it's placed. We have 10 commandments, right? You figured out or remembered that honor thy father and thy mother is one of the 10 commandments. Everybody good on that? Right. We've known that hopefully since the beginning if we've been around church. So honor thy father and thy mother. That one we know. But the placement of it is extremely interesting. So remember that quite correctly, we can look at the law, the Ten Commandments, and divide into two tables, so to speak. And we know there were two tables anyway, but this is kind of an interesting way to focus on it. And we know that the first four commandments, beginning with, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and the other one closing out, the fourth one closing out with honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These deal with our relationship with God, man's relationship with God. Sometimes we call that vertical because it's us here and God here. Okay? Everybody okay with this so far? And that's very important. And then, though, we come to the second table of the law, and it starts with honor thy father and thy mother. So here's the point about placement. When we get to the second table of the law, the part that deals with man in his relationship to man, or what we might call the horizontal, man in his relationship to man, what does God say right off the top? Which one is placed first? Which one has the preeminence? Just as thou shalt have no other gods before me commands the preeminence in the first table of the law. And really, there's a sense in which the others flow from that. It is also true that there is a certain importance established by where this particular commandment is placed. It has a prominent placement. God wants us to see and understand something from that. Now, isn't it interesting that when Jesus gave us teaching in the New Testament, he certainly did not do away with the teaching of the Old Testament, but he was uniquely qualified, being the giver of the law himself anyway, to explain further. And Jesus was able to summarize the Ten Commandments into two. Remember this? And so he said, the first one you can summarize this way: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. He said, you can summarize the second one this way. In other words, man in his relationship to man: love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, sometimes people have come along and said, well, we'll cut that short a little bit. It's easy to remember: love God, love man. Well, it doesn't really say that. It doesn't really say that, particularly when you think of the second table of the law. People mean well when they say that, but God is more specific. He doesn't just say love man. He says love thy neighbor as thyself. That's harder. Think about what I'm saying for a moment this morning. That's a lot harder to love your neighbor, to love man like you love yourself, than to just kind of glibly say love man. But the point is the preeminence that God gives to us. Now, let's look at something else. I've lost the connection. Why? Come back to me here. All right, give me the first slide then and see what happens here. Okay, great. Let me see, I might be able to... We'll just go with this until I... Anyway, in Ephesians, where we read a moment ago, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now watch what he says about this particular commandment. He calls to attention something else about the commandment that we might not have otherwise known. And that is that it's the first one with promise. And I want you to notice the promise that's attached to it, because this is really important to give us insight into how important this commandment really is. Because look what it says: that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, in a sense, that thou mayest live long on the earth is a generalization. We understand that if we don't abide by these commandments, God has a way to cut us short. Not that there are not exceptions, but that first part really interests me: that it may be well with thee. Whoa, you mean to tell me whether it's in my home in particular, whether it's in my church, whether it's in my country, that this commandment is so important that God is saying, among all the things that I can tell you about man's relationship to man, this is utterly foundational to all of society. And if you don't and do this, and if you forsake this, it isn't going to go well with you. Let me just ask you a question you can all understand, agree, and say amen to. Is it going well in our country today? It is not. It is not, and God already told us this. Because we are forsaking the most foundational and fundamental commandment that God gave us to govern society. Do you realize this morning, beloved, that this comes before anything and everything else? There is nothing yet about human government. Human government, when you look at a typical dispensation outline of things, and I'm not here to argue for that theology, but they are correct in this, what they point out here. Human government, the vestiges of it, do not even come into play until Genesis chapter 9. What about the church? Well, again, we don't want to necessarily say the church is in the Old Testament, but in the broader sense of the people of God. There's nothing about that really coming into existence until you get to Genesis chapter 12, and God gives us more information and more insight into the seed through which he was going to bring the Redeemer into the world that he promised in Genesis 3:15. Are you with me so far? None of that happens because then he calls Moses, and then it becomes clear that there is going to be a chosen people. And then we move further down the road and find out, well, the chosen people were not just the Jews. They were in the sense of a nation in the Old Testament. You get to the New Testament and find out that ye are a royal generation, a chosen people. He expresses that to the church. We realize the people of God, but you don't have really the church as we think of it today in the Old Testament. My point is, you don't have any of those other foundational concepts in the Bible first. You have the home first. And when we ignore, when we turn our backs on, when we decide that we know more about society and home and all of those things than God does, guess what? Government isn't going to go well. Is government going well today? Oh, my soul. Oh, it's so hard not to say more. And I don't want to offend anybody. The church. In what state do we find our churches? Well, I guess it could be worse, but it could be a whole lot better. Amen. Why? Because we think we know more than God. And we act like we know more than God. So, beloved, this is important, and when you see this, dad and mom are, of course, included. I'm not divorcing dad, whatever, out of the picture. But here's something interesting for you. When it says honor, what kind of concept is involved in that word? Well, that's a Hebrew word that has, a sense in which maybe this word particularly is dear to me, because when I took Hebrew the first year, one of the first things you had to do was you had to memorize in Hebrew Psalm 19:1. And you have the word in it, it's the kavod is the noun form for glory. Translated here as the verb is honor. So, honor thy father and thy mother. I mean, there are places in which this would be glory or glorify. Well, we don't think of it that way. But what the concept behind the word is something that has, something that's heavy or weighty. Now, look, this is not referring to someone's physique. What it is referring to is the fact, and we actually have this expression in English. Isn't this interesting that we would actually have this expression in English? Sometimes when we look at an organization, we're trying to size it up and figure out who really calls the shots. Sometimes we say, he's a heavy. Or we might even broaden it out and say, she's a heavy hitter. What do we mean? We mean this person, you better watch, you better give respect because they control, they have power, maybe they deserve a great deal of respect, maybe they have a great deal of knowledge, they do things well, they're a heavy. Well, look, what God is saying to us here is, if this person is a heavy, if this person is a heavyweight, then we give a certain respect to them, right? So, for example, a general is a heavy in the army, or whatever, that rank. The general is a heavy, and we respect that and understand that, whether the person behind the stars always conducts himself the way he should or not. Look, beloved, it's a given today. Not all moms do everything they should, and they are imperfect, even if they didn't tell us that, as we heard the little poem earlier. But nevertheless, they are in a position uniquely given to them by God, and God says, recognize that, understand that. And Paul talks about the fact, something else here, when we see in this Titus verse, more is here than I have time to talk about, but that they may be, speaking to the women, that they may teach the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Wow, you're going to say this is really old-fashioned. Just shows you how far we've come the wrong way in society, because guess what? We had a special the other Sunday, always the same. Folks, God hasn't moved. We have moved, and if for some reason we look at these things and say, oh, that is so out of date, well, no, we're just off on the wrong beam. But my thought here was, she has a unique role as the nourisher of her children because she spends so much more time, ideally, the God is looking at her as a keeper at home, and especially in those younger years, she is a nourisher of her children and a keeper at home. She spends more time, and her spiritual instruction is key. If you don't believe that, I want you to think about Timothy. Now, who was Timothy in the New Testament? He was one of Paul's proteges and lieutenants. Would you agree? Everybody agree? Okay. How did he get faith? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:15, we're told. Look at this. And that from a child, not that it can't happen later, but in this case, think of the advantage that Timothy, from a child, Paul says, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then earlier, he tells us how that happened. When I call verse 5 of chapter 1 to remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee. How did that happen? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. So whenever Paul met this man and he trusted Christ as personal Savior, it was true what the Bible says, one man sows and another waters, but God gives the increase. There had been a lot of sowing and a lot of watering before that increase came. But when it came because of people that were nourishers, not just of physical needs, but of spiritual needs. You want to say how important that is? Honor thy mother. She's a heavy. She is worthy of our respect and our praise for all that she has done in that respect. Now, I want to give you five things, and I realize I didn't get the pulpit until almost 10 after. I just wanted to remind you that it's not always that I'm so long-winded. And I thought about Brother Callahan about the seatbelts. I didn't think about installing seatbelts in the church. It'd be one way to keep you from leaving. We could just install them, and I just have an electronic key on here that unlocks them when it's time to go. What I'm really afraid of why we don't have them is you'd start unbuckling them at a certain time, and it would be disruptive. I really know that you want to get home and spend time with your moms and do all that good stuff, but let me try to give you this as quickly as I can. So let's see what it might look like. And I can't claim that this list is complete, but I can claim it's biblical. So let me give you some things to think about. So for young people, but not just for young people. First of all, how are we going to honor our mothers? Number one, respect her for the position and role which God has into which God has placed her. I think I've spent a lot of time already on this and don't need to say too much more. That role is so crucial. Folks, that's why we're going down the tubes today in America. And it's equally true. I don't know what God is going to lead me to do on Father's Day yet. But one of the reasons that we're having such difficulty in our country today is because all this mother and keeper at home and nourisher of body and soul, as we saw above, has kind of gone by the wayside. But I want to give you just one other thought that might be different on Mother's Day for us just to think about. Not only is she a nourisher of body and soul, as we saw in the case of Timothy, but in an earthly sense, she's the giver of life. So we could, I suppose, almost literally and say, you owe your life to your mother. A father does his thing. He's a father. But mothers carry children. And mothers give birth and life to children. I'm not talking about God's part in this. I'm talking about the human part. And you know what? Adam was the one who told us all about this, all the way back in the beginning. Have you ever thought about this verse? What did Adam call his wife's name? Well, Adam was a smart cookie. This business of people back then in the caves with clubs, any of that that's true is only because of regression. You understand what I'm saying? Only because of going off into darkness and sin. Adam wasn't running around there in some kind of a breech clout trying to figure out one end of the garden from the other. If Adam were here today, Adam would outstrip anybody here. I feel absolutely confident of that. You remember God brought him the animals and he gave them all names. How you try that one time. And not only, he didn't just say, well, that looks like a bug, ew. So that's ew. That one stings, you're ouch. He gave them names that were indicative. We have the hippopotamus, right? And that's Greek, but it reflects, what's the hippopotamus? A water horse. Adam was smart. So when Adam gave those names, now he was even smarter when he gave his wife this name because he got double points. I mean, he came up with something that fit and it honored. He called his wife's name Eve. Why did he do that? Just because he kind of liked the sound of it? No, because it means living, and she was the mother of all living. And when he did that, beloved, he enshrined this truth into biblical truth for us, something that comes all down through time for us to recognize when we're thinking about respecting our mothers, that they gave us life, and they have given life to the human race, and that's why she was named Eve. So what Eve? Think about it this way, and we'll kind of move a little further. But think about it this way. What Eve was to humanity, what this verse is saying is that what Eve was to humanity, your mother is to you in your home. And in 1 Timothy 5:14, once again, Paul is kind of picking up on this. The verse gives a lot more than we have time to talk about, but he says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, bear children. This is God's plan. And so a great deal of respect needs to be given to mothers. And I just say ouch sometimes when I look in your home. Let me just ask you this. In your home, all right? The kids in the home, they basically learn what's going on from the dad in the home. So first of all, a comment to dads. Are you respectful to your wife? Because if you are disrespectful to your wife, don't be surprised when those kids are. But even if you are, kids being what they are and the sinful nature being what it is, sometimes kids are disrespectful. You know, when you do that, you need to apologize to your mother and tell her you're really sorry. It happens. We're human. We make mistakes. It happens. There are times we say things we shouldn't have said. Whatever happened to saying I'm sorry? You know, there's an interesting story about an American minister was touring one of the cemeteries in France where American servicemen were buried. And he came to a particular grave. He noticed a person. He came to this particular grave, and there was a woman that was there, and she was weeping and crying over this particular grave. And he walked up to her, and he said, Madam, you have my sympathy. And she responded rather quickly and said, I don't want your sympathy. He was somewhat taken back by that. He didn't quite know what to say. So finally, he just kind of limped out. He said, well, you have my sympathy nonetheless. And the woman responded to him again, and this is what she said. She said, no, I don't want your sympathy. And I didn't ask for your prayers. What I want is your appreciation. Ouch. Secondly, now this comes in the order it's meant to come, right? You have to respect her first. If you respect her, the second thing that will happen is you will obey her. And the Bible is clear. Isn't this what Paul said? Children, obey your parents. Isn't it interesting that when Paul was looking for one of the primary outflows of Ephesians or of Exodus 20:12, honor thy father and thy mother, when he was looking at one of the primary things to come out of that, that we're supposed to figure out what it looks like, we're supposed to obey. I have a revelation for you. I did not always obey. And I wish I had, but kids being what they are, I didn't always. And I think I've told you this before, as a grown man, even here in Huntingdon, when I was pastor of this church, on visits that my parents made, there were things I talked to my dad about that I had done wrong. And I asked him to forgive me. I didn't always obey. I don't think anybody here has always obeyed. But it is interesting to see what Paul has to say about this when he's talking about this. And it sometimes changes. Let's move beyond this one and come to, I've lost my connection again. Would you advance that two for me? I guess I've never seen it not, no, advance it one more. I thought you might be interested in this. I found this posted by a mom, and I don't know how well you can see this, but just have a look for a moment. Mom's rules. You can have a copy, all right, if you like this. And then I'm going to add one at the end. Mom's rules. If I cook it, you eat it. So I'll get Steve Lane up here to tell you that you don't have to like it, you just have to eat it. If I buy it, you wear it. If I wash it, you put it away. How many kids right now have floors that can be seen? What I thought. Can't even see the carpet. No one knows what it looks like in the room. If I clean it, you keep it clean. You mean when you're done with your dishes and all that kind of stuff, you don't just leave them where you did all that stuff? No, dummy, you take them to the kitchen, rinse them off, and put them in the dishwasher. Have you got any brains up here? If I say bedtime, you say goodnight. Somebody says goodnight and doesn't go to bed. If I say get off the phone, you hang up. Now you don't even know if they're on the phone. If I say no, you don't ask why, because I'm mom. Well, it's a little fun, at least. Kind of makes the point to us, doesn't it? But I thought maybe in the light of that Baltimore mom, and I know that things got a little spicy there, but I thought maybe we should add one and say, if I say why are you here, it's time to go home. Tell you something, I hope you saw that video. Like I said, it got a little spicy at times. That's a classic. An absolute classic. And you notice that no one complained at all about child abuse. Why? They do that all the time. All of a sudden, somebody touched a nerve. All of a sudden, somebody showed us what it's supposed to be like, right? And nobody could really gainsay it. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I grew up in the South. I grew up with them. I mean, black people, Afro-Americans, you call them whatever you want. I grew up like that with them. Ain't nobody can do that like a black woman showed us on that film. Ain't nobody. I learned that growing up. That you heard what that boy said, didn't you? He said, I looked out there and he said, my mama shouldn't be here. He said, then I heard her voice. I said, uh-oh, I am in trouble now. Something to be said for that. Obey her. Well, how about love her? Let's see. I'll know when the next slide, so just leave that for a moment. See, this is something that should be obvious, but I want to say something I said a moment ago. So we have respect her, obey her, love her. This one should be obvious, but something that maybe isn't as obvious, and I did allude to it a moment ago, it's the thought I wanted to leave with you on this particular one, is it's like respect. And my wife maybe would say it's like obedience too. And children learn it from their fathers. So, dad's kind of really important here, what we teach our children in this respect. If they're supposed to, after all, doesn't it say in the New Testament, husbands, you know the next thing that goes? Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It also says he nourisheth and cherisheth the church. And when children see a husband like that, they have a role model. And I'll just say this right now. It's one of the reasons that we are in such deep decline. And I'm not sure whether it's not even an uncontrollable tailspin, is because we don't have dads at home. And the ones we do don't always do this. You can't treat your wife like a rug you walk on, because your kids will do the same thing later as soon as they have the chance to do that. Isn't the marriage vow, doesn't it say something in there to love, honor, comfort, and cherish her? Fourthly, show kindness. And I'm going to just say especially in word. Now, is it always easy to do that? No, because sometimes we get upset, right? So every kid here this morning has had a time when he's upset with his mom, right? And probably every husband here has had a time when he gets upset with their mom. Why? Because we're just imperfect. Sometimes things don't go. I've been hearing testimonies about that all day long, and I could talk to you all day long about my own. I mean, if you think that it's fun driving through Chicagoland traffic, I can tell you all about frustration. My wife is a good navigator, and I don't know what I'd do without that, because I don't know, maybe Apple Maps might come to my rescue, but I'm not sure. They learn it from their father, so men, we just need to do as good a job as we can, right? And love our wives. And when we do wrong, and we haven't shown a kind word. After all, in Proverbs 31, so advance that just now if you don't mind, Josh. In the Proverbs 31 verse, look how it's a reciprocal thing. Just notice this with me quickly and we'll get done here. She openeth her mouth, this is the woman, the mom. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is what? The law of kindness. Do you go by the law of kindness in your home? But now it says the mom shows that. So what? She's setting the example, as hopefully the dad is setting the example in his relationship to her. And now watch what happens. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Well, do we do that? Do we bless our moms? Do we thank our moms? And that's very important. The law of kindness needs to be in our home. I do want to share this one with you. I thought this was kind of humorous. Someone asked a lady one time, he said to her, he said, are you a working woman or a housewife? This is kind of indicative of American society today. This guy, he might be one brick shy, but don't ask a woman something like that. Anyway, are you a working woman or a housewife? She replied, listen to this. Yes, I am a full-time working housewife. I work 24 hours a day. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. I'm a daughter-in-law. I'm an alarm clock. I'm a cook. I'm a maid. I'm a teacher. I'm a waiter. I'm a nanny. I'm a nurse. I'm a handyman. I'm a security officer. I'm a counselor. I'm a comforter. I don't get holidays. I don't get sick leave. I don't get days off. I work through day and night. I'm on call all hours, and I get paid with a question, what do you do all day? And, you know, I didn't understand it quite at the time. This is just a confession. I didn't understand at the time. I remember when our kids were young and growing up at home, and I'd go off, you know, at 8 o'clock or whatever to come to the church. And we had maybe talked a little bit ahead of time about some things needed to be done. And I'd get home, and none of them were done. And I think there might have been one or two times that I said to my wife, what'd you do all morning? Well, I learned later what that was. I really did. I learned what it was. And I guess we're all a little slow at first, but I learned what it was. I learned what it is just in my work at the church. When I come in and think I'm going to, you know, I got this list of six things I'm going to get done today, and one phone call can change it all. And I finally figured it out. Wow, that's exactly what the home is like. And I know how I feel when that happens. And so I think to myself, what she did for our kids and for me in our home, that's where we need to go with this. Show her kindness. And the last thing I want to say is also bucking a societal trend. But care for her. There will come a time one day when she will need this. It's amazing how God has worked all this out, isn't it? She is there for you at a certain stage in life. And yes, the genius of this whole thing is one day you leave. And one day you're not so much under the obligation to obey your parents. But guess what? God didn't write the commandment that way. He wrote it more generally. It's honor thy father and thy mother. So sure, a day comes when you leave the home and you don't, it's like a day comes when you leave boot camp or whatever and you don't have that DI. The honor part of it stays there. But when you think back to your childhood and you think back, you know, I couldn't care for myself. Someone else did it. I couldn't buy my clothes. Someone else did it. I couldn't buy my food. Someone else did it. I couldn't protect myself. Someone else did it. My mom and my dad did those things for me, and my mom did a whale of a lot of them so that my dad could go off and do his job. And let's look at Proverbs 23, Josh. Isn't this sad that the Bible would have to tell us this? Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So she can't hear as well as she used to. And you have to repeat certain things. Better slow down and worry, think about it. You get frustrated once in a while with something like that. Your day's coming if you live long enough. You talk to people in this church. You know what? You're not invulnerable forever, only when you're under 25. And after a while, you kind of start figuring out that God has, even in a fallen world, isn't it incredible God's wisdom? He has this whole thing figured out. Your parents are there for you when you desperately need them and can't fend for yourself. And there may come a day. See, now my parents are both with the Lord. But I understand this, thinking back to some of the illnesses and problems that they struggled with. There may be coming a day when your mom, your dad need help. What do we do? Forsake them? Don't have time, old folks home. Well, thank God there are care facilities, because sometimes, I'm not here to put anybody on a guilt trip, sometimes you absolutely need the care facility because you just can't give the kind of care they need at home. I'm saying you don't forsake them. I'm saying you don't just drop them off at the door and forget about them. And Paul, if we can look at the next verse, Josh, real quickly here, this 1 Timothy 5:4. But if any have a widow, have children or nephews. So in other words, in the church, who should be able to receive aid? Here's a widow, wouldn't she need aid? But Paul says this, if she has children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. This is part of honoring thy father and thy mother, to care for her when she is old, to be there. That's why I said at the outset of this message, either say it in person or make the call. Yeah. Today our society is unraveling, beloved. And I realize that many mothers don't live up to God's intent. That's why I want to challenge you this morning as I close this message, that God has given us a privilege. Jesus said to Christian people, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul said that you and I shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, there are times when everything falls apart and people are ready to listen. And just because our nation is moving essentially that way doesn't mean there aren't people who haven't reaped these consequences and seen the consequence of failure. In some instances, they don't even understand what it was they did wrong because the church has failed and they were never taught. But people are sometimes ready to listen. And when they're ready to listen, you and I hopefully are there. We're there to witness to them, but we're also there to live life. To show them people that don't forsake their parents when they're old. To show them people that don't curse their parents, but instead respect them. To show them there are people who love them and honor them. To give something as an example so that out there there's hope. And I want to just say this, whether you're a young person today or whether you're an adult, somewhere along the way you were on the receiving end of a mother's care. So maybe, let's close with this little beatitude, maybe we can just do it this way. Can you just advance, Josh, to this little beatitude? We'll go past this. How about this? Now, you'll see the giving and you'll see the receiving. And in the second part of each of these, here's something now that we have received that we can give back. This is called a mother's beatitude. Blessed is the mother who understands her child, for she shall inherit a kingdom of memories. Blessed is the mother who knows how to comfort, for she shall possess a child's devotion. Blessed is the mother who guides by the path of righteousness, for she shall be proud of her children. Offspring. The next slide. Blessed is the mother who is never shocked, for she shall receive confidences. That's a neat one. Blessed is the mother who teaches respect, for she shall be respected. Blessed is the mother who emphasizes the good and minimizes the bad, for in like manner the child shall make evaluations. Blessed is the mother who treats her child as she would be treated, for her home shall be filled with happiness. Blessed is the mother who answers simply the startling questions, for she shall always be trusted. Blessed is the mother who has character strong enough to withstand the thoughtless remarks and resentments of the growing child, for again, in due time, she shall be honored. We are here today to honor mothers. Thank you, and may God bless you. Our Father, thank you for allowing us a few moments to think a little bit about the old paths. Thank you that in so many homes in this church, the old paths have not always been forsaken. Many people still walk those old paths, still teach those values that we discussed this morning. But we remind ourselves, because we realize that we not only have a job to do in our home and a job to do in our church, but a job to do in society. There have to be people who do not hide their light under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, that it might give light unto all that are in the house. And I pray, Father, you would use our homes. May they see us on Sunday and know there's something different about that home because of what we do. May when the windows be open, they not hear screaming and yelling and arguments and fusses and fights. And even as perhaps people go out to restaurants today to take a meal and enjoy fellowship, they see people that ask the blessing. They see moms, people that are there because it's Mother's Day. They see moms with flowers or moms with other signs of gratitude given to them on this special day, and still know that those values survive in America. Lord, when we hear people distort things and call good evil and evil good and tell us that our values are not their values, help us to realize that our values need to be your values come what may. And use us, we pray. Lord, we're not much. We realize that. We're not much. But through you, there's something we can do. And I pray you'll help us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.